Now we're holding on Lamed Aleph, third line. We learned in the Mishnah, Boi B'Yom Darash Rabbi Yeshua Ben Hurkanus. We were discussing various things that were darshin Boi B'Yom on the day or during the period when they deposed Rabbi Gamliel and appointed Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah as Nasi. And one of them was that Rabbi Yeshua Ben Hurkanus darshin Shalai Ovad Iyov Chola, that Iyov served Hashem out of love. And Rabbi Yeshua says, if only Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai were around to see this, because he always taught that Iyov served Hashem out of fear. Just like earlier in the Mishnah with one of Rabbi Akiva's Darashas, where Rabbi Yeshua has the same reaction, if only Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai were alive to see this. It could mean, like we learned when we said the Mishnah, that he's very impressed that, he was something new that Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai didn't know of, and if only he were alive, then he would be very impressed by it. It could also mean, of course, the other way around. It could mean that if Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai were alive, he would actually be showing how that understanding is incorrect, and how his understanding is the right one. Whatever the case, the point is, the Mishnah brings that Darasha, the Mishnah had brought the Darasha of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus, that year of served Hashem out of love, because you have the Pasuk, Hen yiktaleni loy ayachel. He says, even if Hashem kills me, loy ayachel, where we said there can be two different ways of understanding. Now, the word loy, there is actually a kriyuk siv over there. It's written loy with an aleph, but it's pronounced as though it was lamed with a vav. So it can mean loy ayachel, I will not hope for him, meaning I'm giving up on him if he's going to be killing me. Or it can mean loy ayachel, I will hope for him, meaning I'm constantly going to keep my connection with Hashem. And then Rabbi Yeshua says it has to be the second. Rabbi Yeshua ben Hokanor says it has to be this. It has to be the second one, because you have a later pasuk where Eev says, Ad egva, until I die, like also trumosi mimeni, I will not remove my wholesomeness, my tmimus dik, the fact that I'm wholesome and accept whatever Hashem gives mimeni from me. So we see that he served Hashem out of love. So the Gemara asks, morning, Abby. So what did we have in Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus' Jerusha? First, he said you have the pasuk Penyik Tlini Loy Ayachel, but you wouldn't know from that whether it means Loy with an Aleph or a Vav, and therefore you need the second pasuk from later on in Iyov that tells us clearly what it means. So the Gemara asks, why do we even need that? V'lechsi Hai Loy Iba Lamed Aleph Ksiv Loy Hu Iba Lamed Vav Ksiv Loy Hu. All you have to do is look in the pasuk over there. Is it written with an aleph or is it written with a vav? If it's written with an aleph, then it means not. And if it's written with a vav, then it means to him. So why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Hurkanus have to say we can't be sure what the pasuk means until we have another pasuk that clarifies it? I think it's interesting, by the way, that here we're on Daf Lamed Aleph and we're talking about the word that may be spelt Lamed Aleph. Hashgacha Pratis. Anyway, so why does he even need that? So the Gemara says why. So the Gemara answers back, or it's really a question answering the question with another question. So you're telling me that every time it says Lamed Aleph, it always means not. Here's another example. Elamayata. Here, then consider the following pasuk. We say it in morning davening. It's also at the end of that. It's also at the end of the Haftorah of Parshas Kisavai. Anyway. B'chol tzarasam loy tzar, in all of their tzara, not tzar, dichtiv v'lamed aleph, there also you have a kriyuksiv, there also it's written with an aleph. Hachinami d'loyhu, are you telling me it means that not? Then what would the pasuk be saying? B'chol tzarasam, in all the troubles of the Jewish people, loy tzar, it's not troublesome to Hashem. Hashem doesn't, chas v'shalom, doesn't care about it. Obviously, that's not what it means. And if you were going to think that it could possibly mean that, can't, the same pasuk continues, the malach who serves before Hashem's presence, referring particularly to Malach Michal, save them. In other words, so Hashem is bothered by the tzaras of the Jewish people, and therefore he sends Malach Michal in order to help us. So we see that even though it says over there loy with an aleph, we understand it as though it were written loy with a vav. So by the same token, in this pasuk in Iyov, it doesn't have to be just because it says with an aleph that it would mean not. It could also mean to him, which in fact is how when you have a kriyuk siv, that's exactly what it happens. El alav mashmahochi or mashmahochi. So evidently the answer would be that it could conceivably mean one versus the other. So ultimately the answer is that yes, since it's ambiguous, that is exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Hyrcanus is saying, that there is a certain ambiguity to what Iyov is saying. Does he mean with an aleph or with a vav? But therefore we have another pasuk that clarifies that he definitely meant loy with a vav. Tosfos Shantz, by the way, points out that even in the pasuk b'chol tzarasam loy tzar, conceivably it could mean that in the troubles of the Jewish people, it could mean with an aleph, in the sense it's not a tzara only for them, meaning in other words it's for their benefit, but as opposed to the tzaras of the various nations which destroy them. Earlier in the Masechta, actually, we had the point that the Andaf test, there was an expression over there. The Gemara said that Hashem never struck a nation twice, because once it came time for a nation to be punished, then that's it. It was one blow and that's it. They're goners, unlike we Jewish people, who Hashem gives us our punishment piecemeal so we continue to survive. And so Tosfos Shantz says, in a similar vein, b'chol tzarasam loy tzor, with an aleph, could be understood it that way as well. It wasn't the kind of tzara that other nations have had. And he gives several examples of nations who were punished by Hashem, completely destroyed, as opposed to we still continue to exist. Nevertheless, the point is, it could be understood that way, but it could also be understood, loy to him, sir, it is troublesome that we are in pain, and therefore Hashem sends his malach. So therefore, that's the point with the pasuk in Iyov as well. It could conceivably mean either one. Okay. Talking further about Iyov and what level of avoda of Hashem he reached, Tanya of Meir Omer, Nema Yirei Alekim B'Iyov. Now, in the so what did we have in the Mishnah? Then Rabbi Yeshua ben Hyrcanus learned from the Pesukim in Iyov that Iyov is serving Hashem out of love. And then Rabbi Yeshua says, you know, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai used to always say that he served Hashem only out of fear, because it says about him Yirei Alekim. So therefore it shows that he served Hashem out of fear. So now the mayor is going to address that point and say that even the word Yirei Alekim can also be understood, not like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did, that it meant that he served Hashem only out of fear. Rather, we can understand that it means a higher level of serving Hashem. So the mayor says, Nema Yirei Alekim B'Iyov, Nema Yirei Alekim B'Avraham. You also have by the Akedah. After the Akedah, Hashem sends a malach to speak to Avraham, and he says, Ata Yodaiti Ki Yirei Alekim Ata. Ma Yirei Alekim Ha'omer B'Avraham Me'ava, just like the one by Avraham means that he served Hashem out of love and not just out of fear. Af Yirei Alekim Ha'omer B'Iyov Me'ava, the same way by Iyov, it can also mean that he served Hashem out of love. Now, there are, of course, many different levels in love of Hashem, of fear, and fear of Hashem. Tanya, it talks about many of them. The lowest one is where a person serves Hashem, where the fear is fear of punishment. The love can be the love of the reward that Hashem gives. Then, there can be much higher levels. There can be Ava, where a person is doing it out of love for Hashem because he really wants to be as close as possible to Hashem. There can be the highest level of Ava that it talks about in a number of places, in a couple of places in Tanya, particularly in Perek Yud, where it's like the love of a son to the father, where everything the father wants, the son automatically does for him, and not even that he himself wants. And not even that he himself is gaining anything from it, even if that gain is closeness to Hashem, because he's far beyond that. And Yira also, you have many different levels of Yira. There can be Yirei Boshes, where he's embarrassed to do something wrong in front of Hashem. There can be there can be even higher levels of Yira than that. So we're saying over here that when it says by Avraham, Yirei Alekim, then it means he was on one of those higher levels of Yira. So it means, in other words, the kind of Yira which is itself a part of Ava in a way. You have the Ava, for example, that a person is afraid to be separated from Hashem. That's a Yira, which is a subset of Ava. So it means that it was Ava. Okay, if Avraham Gufei Menolon, Avraham himself, how do we know that the Yirei Alekim Ata actually means Ava? Dichtiv Zera Avraham Oyavi, because of different pasuk says, speaks of the Jewish people as the descendants of Avraham who loved me. So we see that Avraham served Hashem out of love. Of course, we know all over Kabbalah and Chassidus, it talks about that Avraham personifies Midas HaChesed. There's even the expression that Midas HaChesed said that as long as I was alive, as long as Avraham was alive, I didn't have anything to do because Avraham is working instead of me. So Avraham symbolizes Chesed and Ava and all that, that method of serving Hashem. So therefore, if he uses a similar expression by Eov, then yes, it means that he was somewhat on that level as well. So the Gemara asks, "My ika ben oisem e'aval oisem e'yira." What is the actual difference between somebody who serves Hashem out of love versus someone who does it out of fear? The answer is ika hodatanya. You have the following distinction: Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Gadol ha oisem e'aval yosem e'yira. There's the one who serves Hashem out of love is greater than the one who serves him out of fear. Shezep tolu la elef der, shezep tolu la alpayim der. Because in the case of the one who serves Hashem out of fear, his schus is hanging there and is available there and for his children after him for 1,000 generations. Vizeh, whereas the one who does me'ava, tolui, then his schus is available and protects his children, la'al payim dur, for 2,000 generations. Where do we see that? Because in the Aseret HaDibros, you have, it says Hashem remembers the chesed for thousands, meaning thousands in the plural, so 2,000s, for those who love me, and for those who observe my mitzvahs. So therefore we see 2,000. Whereas when it comes over there, when it talks about the ones who serve Hashem out of fear, you have at the end of Parshas Vayeshanan, it says that Hashem remembers the schus or the shomrei mitzvos for those who guard his mitzvahs, where shomrei as a shomer is a lashon of loises, so that has to do more with yira elef dur for 1,000 generations. So we see that Abba is twice as effective as so we see that Abba is twice as effective as yira. So the Gemara
Alexander,
asks, yeah,
Alexander, how do you reconcile this that you just said, that Ava is more effective than Yira, when it says V'afta es Hashem Elokecha, implying that if we don't serve Hashem with Ava, we're basically not Yoti of the whole Torah. How does that reconcile?
One second. There is one of the 613 mitzvahs is Ava. A different one of the 613 mitzvahs is Yira. On the other hand, you also have, the Alter Rebbe points out, in Tanya, particularly in Perek Lamed Tes and Mem, Ava and Yira are that all of a person's mitzvahs have to be infused with both Ava and Yira, and the Alter Rebbe compares them to wings. A bird can't fly with only one wing, and the same way a mitzvah that's with only Ava or only Yira is not going to fly up Lamaila. Aside from that, you have a separate one. So the Alter Rebbe explains it over there. Each one in a way is not ma'akiv the other, just like you don't say, for example, that the tefillin shal yad and shal rosh are ma'akiv one another. If you don't have one tefillin, you still put on the other one. The same way, if you can't yet achieve Ava, you still do with Yira and vice versa. But ultimately, yes, a person is supposed to achieve both of them, at least on some level, so that his mitzvahs will fly upward to Hashem. Here we're not talking about, we're not saying, for example, with Avraham serving Hashem out of love, we don't mean there's no fear at all. Of course not. You have to have both, the Alter Rebbe stresses. But we're talking about which one was the primary mode, which one was more his primary way of serving Hashem. Of course, he had the other one as well. But now what we're saying is that when a person serves Hashem from Ava without Yira, or Yira without, so here, no, what we're saying is when a person serves Hashem where Ava is the primary thing, then he has a greater schus that lasts for 2,000 generations. When he serves Hashem primarily through Yira, and again, he has Ava as well because he needs that, then we're saying that his schus is also great, but it lasts for only 1,000 generations. But Pashtus, you could say the simple thing is because Ava is related to Chesed, which is more expansive, and Yira is related to Gvura, which is more limited, and therefore the effect of it is also more limited, and it lasts for only 1,000 instead of 2,000. But yes, you do
need both. But you could still come back and say, okay, well, if he doesn't have Ahava as his primary service, he would not be Yoti, as it says, V'afta es Hashem Elokecha.
No, he has it because he has Ava. It's just not his primary thing. Primarily.
Well, that's the problem.
then it's not a problem. He still has the mitzvah of Abba. He is v'ahavta as Hashem Elokecha, but more, but he's focusing more on the Yira side, which is fine. A person, some people, they have some people whose neshamas are from Tzad Yamin, and others that are that their neshamas are from Tzad Smol, and each one has a different different primary way of relating to Hashem. Avraham's was Chesed, Yitzchak's was Gvura, and that's fine as long as you have the other one as well.
But when you see that, when the pasuk says,
the pasuk also says that the pasuk also says Hashem alakecha tira, the same Torah that says ve'ahavta es Hashem alakecha also says es Hashem alakecha tira. So yes, those are two of the 613 mitzvahs.
When did the pasuk say this es Hashem alakecha tira?
It says in parshas Voschanan and in parshas Ekev.
But was the whole Jewish people assembled and listening?
Yes. Yeah, same way as it's all. V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha is in Parshas Voschanan when Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira is also in those parashiyos where Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people. Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
What was said first?
I think I don't know. I'd have to look in the Pesukim, but whatever. Both of them are mitzvahs in the Torah. What's the difference? Which one was said first? Anyway. Whatever, each one has its place, each one has its time and place, and each one has some people focus more on one than on the other. That's all we're saying over here. So a person whose main focus in serving Hashem is Abba, but he has Yira as well, because then again, without that, his mitzvahs only have the one wing, then he has a schus that lasts for 2,000 generations, the one who serves Hashem mainly out of Yira. He has Abba as well, of course, to be Yotze, because he's going to be doing that mitzvah as well, and because he needs that other wing for his mitzvahs to fly. So his schus lasts for 1,000 generations. That's what we're saying. We can discuss this later if you need. So the Gemara asks, Hosam Nami, well, by the Pasuk that mentions 1,000 at the end of Parashas Voschanan, it says, Ksiv, Lo'oyhava, V'loshemim mitzvahs of La'elof Ger. It mentions those who love Hashem and those who keep his mitzvahs for 1,000 generations. So it mentions those who love him as well. So what are you telling me that those who love Hashem, those who serve Hashem out of Ava, have for 2,000 generations? This Pasuk is mentioning only 1,000. And the question is the other way around also. So the answer is the answer is in each pasuk you have to look at what's next to the mention of the generations. When it comes to the pasuk and the Aseres Adibris, what comes right adjacent to the word la'alofim is the word la'oyhavai. So sure, it says la'shoyim mitzvoisai as well, but it shows that the oyhavai, those who love Hashem, are the ones who are getting the 2,000 generation reward. As opposed to the pasuk at the end of Voschanan, la'oyhavav l'shomer mitzvois of la'elof der, so there the shomer mitzvois of are mentioned adjacent to the elof der. So therefore, showing, in other words, again, in each case, we are talking about both in the Aseres Adibris and in the pasuk at the end of Voschanan, we're mentioning both those who love Hashem and those who keep his mitzvahs, meaning they keep the loisa, says particularly, which is rooted in fear of Hashem. And that's also a point the Alter Rebbe makes in Tanya. Ava is the source for keeping all the mitzvahs haseh, because a person loves Hashem on whatever level of Ava he has, therefore he wants to do what Hashem tells him to do, because he has fear of Hashem, which includes, among other things, the fact that he realizes he's standing before Hashem, and how could he behave differently than what Hashem wants him to, that causes him to keep the loisa says. Obviously, a person wouldn't be very much of a good yid if he keeps only the esses or only the loisa says. So yes, you do need both, but we're talking about which one is the person's primary focus, again, ultimately based on the source of his neshama, whether it comes from chesed or from gvura. But in each pasuk you have, in the one from the Aseres Adibris, it mentions la'alofim, and the next word is la'oyhavai, showing therefore that the 2,000 refers to the oyhavai, those who serve Hashem primarily out of Ava. And then in the one at the end of Voschanan, where it says l'shomer mitzvos of la'elof der, so yes, it mentions oyhavav as well, but it mentions after that shomer mitzvos of those who observe Hashem's mitzvos, meaning out of Yira, and there it says 1,000 generations. So that's what it is. It's not that each pasuk doesn't mention the other one, but you have to look at what's adjacent to the number. Moshe goes on and explains, in other words, again, when we say, we said before that Avraham and Eov, that it says about them Yira, really that Yira is an outgrowth of their Ava. So the same way over here, what we mean is that by the Oyavai or Shomer Mitzvoisai means the Shomer Mitzvoisai is an outgrowth of Ava. But the answer is that the primary thing by them becomes the Yira. And vice versa, by the Oyavai or the Shomer Mitzvoisai, we were saying that the primary thing by them remains the Ava. So the Gemara tells, there were two Talmidim once sitting in front of Rava and learning. One says to Rava, there was read to me in a dream, a pasuk from Tehillim, Morav Tuvcha Asher Tzafanta L'Yerecha, how great is your goodness that you have hidden away for those who fear you. And the other one says to Rava, Akriyun b'chalmoi, that was read to me in a dream, another pasuk from Tehillim, the yisbechu chol choisei vach, those who take refuge in you, Hashem, will be happy. La'olam yiranenu, they will always sing, the yalatzurucha oyavei shmecha, and those who love your name will always be happy in you. So each of them wanted to know what their dream signifies. Does it mean, for example, you know, obviously one is referring more to Yira and the other to Ava, but it could mean the lower levels of Yira and Ava. It could mean that one of them is being told you're serving Hashem only with the kind of Yira, as in Yira Sa'onish, as in fear of punishment, and that's not a very good level of Yira. The other one could be being told, let's say, that he's doing it only out of love of the reward from Hashem, which also is not a very high level. So they wanted to know what it actually means. Omelahu, so Rava tells them, Tavaychu Rabbanan Tzadiki Gmuri Atun, Tavaychu Rabbanan Tzadiki Gmuri Atun, both of you Chachamim are perfect Tzadikim. The difference is, Marme Avo, Marme Yira, one of you focuses on serving Hashem more out of love, the other one more out of fear. So therefore, one of you was read a pasuk that refers to what Hashem has hidden away for Yireyav, and the other one was read in his dream a pasuk about Oyavei Shmecha. So we're not talking about lower levels of Ava and Yira. We are talking about higher levels. So actually Marashah says the one who was Miyira was maybe not as high as it could be, because he says the pasuk Morab Tuvcha Asher Tzafanta L'Yerecha continues. Marashah says it continues, Pa'alta L'Choisim Bach, that you accomplished for those, you Hashem accomplished for those who trust in you, Neged Bnei Adam, in front of people, implying, in other words, that maybe your Yira is only in front of people rather than a true deep felt Yira, because if it was, then it would lead to Ava as well. As opposed to the other one, the Yismachol Chachosevach means La'olam Yiranenu, they'll sing forever. So in other words, Marsha understands that actually Rava is telling them that yes, both of you are definitely serving Hashem the way with everything that you're supposed to be doing. However, you should know, you who are focusing on Yira, you have higher levels of Yira to accomplish. Right now, your Yira is more only Neged Bnei Adam because it hasn't led you to enough Ava, whereas the one with Ava is doing much better because he is doing much better. Tosfos mentions in this connection the famous thing about when Rabbi Akiva was being executed, and he's saying Krishma, that he was saying, I wanted to be able to, all my life I've been wondering when I'm going to show that love of Hashem, and now I finally have that opportunity. In Chassidus, actually, it talks about that in a way, though, Avraham Avinu's Ava of Hashem was greater than Rabbi Akiva's, because Rabbi Akiva, after all, had a certain agenda in it, so to speak. You know, he's looking forward to Mesiras Nefesh. On the other hand, Avraham, it's more whatever Hashem wants is what he wants. If Hashem wants him to go on Mesiras Nefesh, then he'll go on Mesiras Nefesh. But if not, then not. So he has like no personal agenda in it at all, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva had. On a very high level, of course, but he had his personal thing that he's looking forward. When is he going to be able to do this? So Avram's Ava is still greater. But yes, of course, the point is, from all of everything we were saying, there are many, many different levels of Ava and Yira, and for that you have to learn Tanya and you have to learn Torah Chassidus really to understand all of them in a much better way. All right, Hadron Aloch Kashem Shamayim. This next parak now, the sixth parak, is a short one. I think it may be the shortest one in the entire Shas. It's going to tie up basically some loose ends as far as the whole matter of Kinnur Yostira. Tosfos, in fact, wonders that this perek, really, why is it belonging over here after we finished with the whole procedure of the soita, on the face of it, after we mentioned that the husband was mekane for the to the wife, that he gave her the warning, and there was stira, then it should put in this, then it should put in these mishnayos about what happens after that, if there are edim, or if there are edim or rumors about what happened over there. So so Tosfos leaves the question open. Balabatish, I guess you could say, that the Mishnah just wanted to go through the whole procedure of the soita, and only then are we going to tie up loose ends. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Misha kine le'ishtoi, a man warned his wife to not be alone with this guy, the nistera, and she was alone with the guy, then afilu shama me'oif ha'pereach, then even if he heard from a flying bird, then he's obligated to divorce her and to pay her ksuba. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. So what do we mean over here? First of all, what did he hear? Here you have a multi-way machloikas among the Rishonim, what exactly he heard. Rashi says it means he heard from this oifa pereach, he heard from this flying bird, and we'll explain in a second what that means, that she was in stira. So in other words, he warned her. But now, what evidence does he have that she was in fact in stira after he warned her is only from oifa pereach. What would oifa pereach mean? Rashi would explain. For example, it would mean an eved or a shifcha gives testimony about that. So they're not really kosher la'edus in general. But so therefore, it's like no better, so to speak, than a flying bird. Nevertheless, it's good enough for this purpose. Rabbi Eliezer, Rashi says, Rabbi Eliezer is following his own opinion at the beginning of the Masechta, who says that the you need edim for the kinui, but not for the stira. So there you go. Now all he hears is from an oifa pereach, from a very someone who would otherwise be a very unreliable aid, that his wife was in stira, and nevertheless that's good enough to asser her. However, not enough to when we say to asser her, it would be enough that now the result is there was kinui, there was stira. Now he could take her to drink the soita water if he wants to. If he chooses not to, then he has to pay her ksuba, because we learned earlier that that's how it would be. If the husband decides not to give her the drink, then he's still obligated to pay her ksuba, because it's his fault that she's not drinking and doesn't have the chance to prove her innocence. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos Shantz learns a little bit of variation on that. They bring from the Rashbam that no, the vote would be because you don't have proper edus over the stira. Therefore, no, in fact, he can't give her the drink, but nevertheless, he'd still have to give her hoksuba. Tosfos has a completely different understanding. Tosfos says, we're not talking about that he hears about the stira. What we're talking about is that even before stira, he hears rumors, he hears from oifa pereach, that she has been, that there has been dover mechor, that she's been acting in an ugly way that suggests that there may have been znus, where the Gemara gives examples of it in different other places in Shas, then it would be that Yotzi v'yitin ksuba, he should be divorcing her, because there's good reason based on that to think that she was mezana. But nevertheless, since there's not, and especially there is raglayim l'dover, since he did give her the warning after all, nevertheless, she does collect her ksuba, because in fact there is no clear evidence of stira. All there is is rumors that she may have been tamei, that she may have committed adultery. That's how Tosfos learns.
You have precise evidence.
So
if
right.
You have precise evidence and two witnesses.
Precise evidence would be something else, right?
Loktuba.
Right. Then the Rambam has yet another understanding. The Rambam understands we're talking about after kinui, after stira. If he hears from oifa pereach, then in fact she became tamei. In other words, there's no actual one aid, but there's rumors or there's a few different understandings also of what oifa pereach means. Rashi is saying again that oifa pereach means he heard from an eved or a shifcha or something. So actually they bring from the Yerushalmi that actually the difference is if you hear, like I've been hearing rumors and I can't really trace back to where it was from, that would be called oifa pereach. If you hear it from somebody who heard it from somebody, that would be what the Mishnah is going to continue, Moiseris Balavana. That's going to be I'm explaining just a second. I'm saying there's a difference between aid mipiaid, where you can trace it back to a known person, versus where you can't. But there are also the Rambam understands in Pirush HaMishnayos that it means, like, even for example, you have other, you have, let's say, for example, You have some reason to suspect it without really any firm basis. The Meiri talks about even that, for example, he hears the birds twittering, he hears the birds making noise, and he has reason based on his knowledge to believe that tells him something. A couple of Achronim, the Rashash, the Teferis Yisrael, talk about conceivably Oifa Pereach, I mean a parrot. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you have parrots repeat what they've seen and what they've seen and what they heard. So conceivably, we could be talking about that. Whatever. Rabbi Eliezer says that would be enough for Yotzi V'yitn Ksuba. Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about that he finds out from the Oifa Pereach that she was in Stira. According to Tosfos Shant, same thing. According to regular Tosfos, that he hears from the Oifa Pereach that there was Dover Bechur, that there was ugly behavior on her behalf, that the Pritzus, that amounts to strong evidence that there may have been Znus, but there was no actual evidence of the Znus, just circumstantial evidence. And according to the Rambam, we're talking about after Kinui and Stira. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Adshi Yisu V'yitnu V'moizris Balavana. Rabbi Yeshua says that's not enough to just have from Oifa Pereach. You need to have that the women who are spinning by moonlight are talking about her. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua holds. So Rashi, who says we're talking about Stira over here, he says that you need to have Ede Stira. But over here, once you have the point where the Moisres Balavana, the women who gather together by moonlight to spin, and then they're talking and gossiping about everything that happened in town that day, then at that point, Rashi says, we have in the first parak, there was a drosha in the Gemara, because at the end, the Pasuk says, that the Pasuk says, if the woman did not become Tomei, Utahoirahi, and she is Tahar, the Nixa, then she'll be cleansed, the Nizra Azara, and she'll have children. Those extra words of Tahoirahi teach us that even if there's not solid evidence that she was Tomei, but you already are at the point of Moisres Balavana, that the women over there who are rehashing the news of the day, are all talking about what she did, then that's reason enough. In other words, that therefore the water. The water of the Sota is not going to have an effect, is not going to test her, and therefore there's no choice, Rabbi Yeshua says, but for her husband to divorce her. But because there's no solid evidence, then therefore he still needs to pay her ksuba. And again, according to the various other Rishonim, you would have a similar kind of thing. Once you have Moisres Balavana, then already you're at the point where there's enough evidence. So he would say Oifa Pereach is not enough, but Moisres Balavana is already enough that therefore it requires him to divorce her. But because there's no solid evidence, then there's no ksuba. Continues the Mishnah. There is a ksuba. Continues the Mishnah. Omer Eid Echad Anira Isia Shenitmes. Now, if one aid says, I saw that she became Tomei, I saw that she actually was Mizana, Loi Hoysa Shoysa, then she wouldn't drink. We learned that already in the first Perek. Veloi, we're going to learn it again in the Gemara. Veloi Oid, not only that, El Afilo Ebeda, Filo Shivcha, Relonem Mon and Afla Postam Ksubasa. Even if the one who says, I saw that she became Tomei, I saw that she actually committed adultery, even if it's only an Eved, or even only a Shivcha, then nevertheless, we believe them even to the extent that she forfeits her Ksuba. So she's not going to drink the Mei Soita because we have evidence, and she's not going to get her Ksuba either. And now the Mishnah continues, Shehoya Badin. Now, the reason why we need to be told that, I skipped a couple of lines, Chamoisa, what about her mother-in-law, or Bas Chamoisa, or her sister-in-law, her mother-in-law's daughter, Vitzarasa, or her Tzara, if a man has more than one wife, so they had Rachel and Leah, so Rachel is saying Adris about Leah, the Yevimta, or her sister-in-law, as in the one married to her brother, before Bas Chamoisa was the daughter of her mother-in-law, so sister-in-law, so her husband's sister, now we're talking about her husband's brother's wife, the Ubas Baila and her stepdaughter, her husband's daughter. So usually we say in Yevamos, the Mishnah and the Gemara talked about that those five women are often not believed in Eidos about a woman to say, for example, that her husband died, because the Gemara mentions over there each one has reason to not like her. For example, the mother-in-law holds it against her. She thinks to herself, listen, you know, my husband earned a lot of money during his lifetime. And eventually my son and his wife are going to inherit it. And that means that everything that my husband worked for is going to wind up going to some other, is going to go to this woman who's not even a member, who's not even a blood member of my family. And the same way with the other ones. Each one of them has a different reason that Sarah, the Saras in general don't get along. The Yavama is concerned that they may become Saras, because what happens if the husband dies childless? So therefore, so for example, if they come and give edus to a woman that her husband's dead, we don't believe them. We suspect that they're doing it only in order that she should get remarried and then be in big trouble. But on the other hand, here, Harelo Ne'emonis, here, when it comes to if one of those five women comes and says that this woman was Mizana, then we believe them. Veloila post them Uksubasa. Now, not to the extent of passeling her from Uksuba, because after all, we have to be concerned that maybe their edus is false. Eloshle Tishta, but it is to the extent that she won't be drinking the soda water, because after all, we have evidence which may be true after all, and because of that, we can't give her the soda water. The Ursa Meach wants to say that B'dievet, in this case, if they gave her the soda water and she survives the ordeal, then she would be mutter to her husband. In most cases, where we say when there's an aid, we don't give her the soda water, and even B'dievet, if she drinks it, we say it doesn't matter, it's not going to be effective because there was an aid. But here, after all, we're saying fundamentally these are not really, here we're saying it's only a chashash that maybe they're lying, so therefore he wants to say that in that case it would be effective B'dievet. Anyway, the Mishnah continues, Shahoya Badin. Now, you would have thought logically that one aid should not be acceptable, because you would think like this, Umay im edus rishona, consider the first edus, the edus that she was in stira. Then she'ein oisau to isu olam, that doesn't answer her forever, because after all, even after the stira, she could drink the meisota and go through it successfully, and then she's mutter to her husband. Yet ein meskayemus pochas mishnayim, and yet that edus cannot be fulfilled with less than two. You need two edim to Rabbi Yeshua. This is what Rashi says. This part of the Mishnah is still according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says at the beginning of the Masechta that you need two edim for stira in order to trigger the whole sota process. So therefore, so even though the stira is not necessarily answering her forever, yet you need two edim. Well, then if you have the last edus, meaning if an aid comes and says that she was tome, that she actually was mizana, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that it's not fulfilled unless you have two edim? So where are we getting that one aid tome is enough to disqualify her from drinking the soda water and to make her also forever to her husband? Therefore, Talmud Lomar of aid ein ba. Therefore, the pasuk says there is no aid on her, which means kol edus sheyesh ba. Any edus that would be against her is enough to answer her. So, in other words, at the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about the idea. Usually, the word aid means two, but here, because of the phrasing of the pasuk, the aid ein ba implies that one aid is enough. So, as long as we're going to have it again in the Gemara over here. So as long as there's one aid, then that she was Tomei, then that's it. Then she's also to her husband. Well, the Mishnah continues. Well, now in that case, Kavachomer la'edus harishona me'ata. Well, now maybe we should turn the Kavachomer around and say the other way around and go back to the first edus, the edus of stira, and say Uma im edus achrona, and say madach if the last edus of Tuma, she'isau to isu olam, which makes her also forever, because once she becomes a soita. Once we have edus that she's tove and that asers her isu olam and asers her to her husband forever, and asers her to eat truma if she's a bas koyin, etc. And yet harei miskayemus be'ed echad, and we just said based on the pasuk that it can be fulfilled by only one aid, edus harishona she'ed osau to isu olam. Well, then the ulio edus of stira, which does not asser her forever, because even after stira she can drink the mei soita and be found innocent. So shouldn't it be a kavachomer that one aid should be good enough for that? Why do we require two aidim? The answer is no, Talmud Loma, because the Pasuk elsewhere says, Ki motza ba ervas dover. The Pasuk says when a man divorces his wife because he finds in her ervas dover an improper matter, the ulahalanu omer. Now a different Pasuk says, apishnaim aidim yokum dover. A different pasuk mentions also the word dover and says that on the basis of two edim, a dover, a matter is established. So that gives us a gzeira shava, a malahalan al pishnaim, afkan al pishnaim, the afkan pishnaim, or al pishnaim, goes abach, add the word al, just like over there. We're saying that you need two edim for a matter, the same way you need two edim for a matter over here. In other words, The Gemara's usual rule, as expressed elsewhere, is Ein Davar Sheba'erva Pachas Mishnayim. When it comes to a matter involving erva, you always need to have at least two eidim. Only when it comes uniquely, when it comes to Eide Tuma, then we're saying one eid is enough. So that's how it is. Mishnah continues. Eid Oimer Nitmes, if one eid says she did become Tomei, she was actually Mizana, the Eid Oimer Loi Nitmes, and then another eid comes and contradicts him and says she did not, or Isha Oimeres Nitmes, the Isha Oimeres Loi Nitmes, or if one woman says, or not just the woman, of course, any kind of Psula Eidus, comes and says that she was Tomei, and another woman comes and says that not, Hoisa Shoisa, she still would drink the soda water, because now that you have one aid against one aid, then you're left with the suffix whether she was Tomei or not. If only the one aid had come and said, and she had said that she was Tomei, we just said before, we would accept that aid, even if it was an Eved or a Shifcha. But now that they're contradicted by another aid, then not. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. What about aid Oimen Nitmes? If one aid say, Echad Oimen Nitmes, if one aid says that she was Tomei, Ushnaim Oimim Loi Nitmes, and then two Eidim come and say that she was not Tomei, Hoisa Shoisa, then she would drink, because the two cancel out the one Eid. On the other hand, Shnaim Oimim Nitmes, Ve'echad Oimim Loi Nitmes, on the other hand, if two of them say that she was Tomei, and one of them say that not, Loi Hoisa Shoisa, then she doesn't drink, because then we say that again, the two cancel out the one, and therefore she's definitely Tomei. And we're going to see, you would think it's obvious, of course, two Eidim cancel out one Eid, and we'll see in the Gemara why we need all these cases. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. We said in the middle of the Mishnah, really, by the way, these are in the printed Mishnayos, these are four separate Mishnayos, as you often have in the Gemara many times, the copyists and eventually the printers jammed all the Mishnayos in one parak together. Here, I guess, especially the whole parak is only one daf, so I guess they weren't going to bother separating the Mishnayos. Anyway, in the middle of the Mishnah, it said that how do we know that the Eidei Stira have to be at least two, is because it says Ki Matzah Ba'Ervas Dover. And we learn Xeda Shover from the word Dover, that it means you need two Eidim. So the Gemara asks, Hi, Talmud Loma Ki Matzah Ba'Ervas Dover. What do you mean? Because we learn from the Pasuk Ki Matzah Ba'Ervas Dover. We have a different Pasuk. We don't need Xeda Shover. Talmud Loma Bach B'Loi B'Kinui Bach B'Loi M'Stira M'Ba'Ulei. Shouldn't the Mishnah be saying that we learn it, as it says at the beginning of the Masechta, from the fact that it says the Eid Ein Bach, and the word Bach against her is a mute, implying bach v'loi b'kinui, only when it comes to tuma is one aid enough, but not by kinui, and bach v'loi b'stira. And the word bach also teaches us not in stira. So both kinui and stira require aidim, two aidim, like any other matter, only when it comes to tuma is one aid enough. So miboyle, that's how the Mishnah should say it. So why is the Mishnah instead bringing from Xera Shava, from the fact that it says two aidim? So the one answer is hochi nami tamer. That actually is what the Mishnah means. The Tana means, in other words, it's kind of like Chasuri Mechsura. Talmud Lema Bach, Bavala Bikini, Bavala Vistira. In fact, we are learning to begin with from the miyot, from the word ba, that it means that only when it comes to Eide Tuma, where it says, Ve'eid Ein Bach, Behiloin Itma. So, in other words, implying that if there was an aid that she's Tomei, then that's it. She's off limits to her husband, and they have to get divorced, and she loses her Ksuba. And we learn from the word ba that does not apply to the kinui and the stira. But we have to ask in general, the tuma ba'alma b'loi kinui b'loi stira. But that we should ask in general that it should be believed that a woman became tomei, that a woman was mezana, when there was no kinui and there was no stira before that. D'loi mehemen eid echad, that one eid is not believed for that. Menolon, where do we know that from? That we have the gzeder shavah. Nemakan dover, menemalahalan dover, malahalan b'shne eidim, afkan b'shne eidim, that you need two eidim. In other words, only, so what is it? Only in the case of a hero of the soita, because you have raglayim ladover, because you have a strong basis for assuming that there was a problem over here, because it was preceded by kinui and stira, therefore the Torah is telling you that one eid is enough. But other than that, the Torah is telling us one aid in general is not enough. If there was no kinui or there was no stira, and one aid comes along and says, I saw that Ploinus was Mizana, that would not be good enough to ask her to her husband. You would need two. That, the Mishnah is telling us, you learn from the Gzeder Shavah, from the word Dover. In the case of the Soita, the kinui, the fact that the kinui and the stira require two, that we're actually learning from a different, that we're learning from the word Ba. But on the other hand, the Tuma, one aid is enough, because the fact is there's raglayim ladover.
Would you give her a drink if there's only aidus without kinui?
So that's what I was saying. If there was no kinui, then there's no drinking in the first place. So there has to be kinui and stira in order to trigger the whole process of the soita. So what we're saying is Rabbi Yeshua, who said at the beginning of the Masechta that you need two edim for both the kinui and the stira, that's he's learning that from the word ba. And then he's saying, on the other hand, when it comes to tumah with a soita, once there was kinui and stira, one aid is enough to say that during the stira there was tumah. On the other hand, if there was no kinui and stira, then you need two edim just like in any other davar shaberva.
We're missing a long, but one aid works, but
that's what we're saying. No, one aid works, but only when there was kinui and stira before that.
Even Rabbi
Shua is saying that. Yeah. There was an interesting point, by the way. The Rabbi Reb Chaim Ozer and Achiezer makes an interesting point. Is it that we're saying that that one aid, basically, is it that we're saying that that one aid, let's say of stira or something, is not enough to? Are we saying that we don't believe him at all, or are we saying there's a suffix, and because of the suffix, then she's stuck and she's unable to drink, and she's unable to drink the water? That's a lumdisha point that he brings up, with different achronim after him talk about various ins and outs of that. When you have one aid on tumah, is it that the Torah believes him and says definitely she's tamei? That's what it is. When you have one aid after kinui and stira, what is it? There's the mechanism that the Torah is absolutely believing him, saying therefore we have to say definitely she's tamei, therefore there's no soita water and she just has to get divorced, etc. Or is it basically the Torah is saying, look, we have a suffix, one aid says, so therefore maybe not, but therefore we don't have. So we're not able to give her the soita water in that case, and therefore the result is she remains also to her husband. So is it, in other words, is it definitively we're saying, or is it we're saying because of the suffix? And there's a couple of nafka minis that they talk about, a couple of nafka minis about in it. What about, for example, one example? Let's say suppose her husband is a kohen. If she's definitely considered tamei because of the one aid, the husband would get malchus for having relations with her because he's having relations with a zayna. On the other hand, if we say that it's only a suffix, then maybe we don't. Give him malchus.
Any case of she said, "I want to drink," do we listen to her?
Where she says she wants to drink, only if there was kinui and stira. There still has to be kinui and stira. Yeah. The Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, "Eid oimen nitmes." We said the further on in the Mishnah, if one aid says she became tamei and one aid says she did not, then we said she does go ahead and drink. So the Gemara says, "Taima." Now, why are we saying? Because you have one aid against one aid, then therefore we're saying that the two aid cancel each other out. Implying that if there was no aid contradicting him, then one aid is believed against her that she is Tomei. Again, fine, you know, you have this point of the Achiezer. Are we believing him as a Vaday or a Suffolk? But the point is, in other words, we're saying that the one aid is good enough. Unlike we were saying before, in most cases of, in most Dovah Sheba Erva, we require two aid. So Menahanimili, where do we know that from? So this we basically had in the first paragraph as well. The Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'aid Ein Ba. The Pasuk is saying there's no aid against her, implying b'shnayim akosim medaber. That means the Pasuk is saying that there's no two aidim of tumah, implying but there is one aid. So after oimer b'shnayim, so you're saying the word aid means two. Oy ena ela be'achad. Maybe it means only one aid. Maybe the word aid, after all, is singular. No, tamad lema lo yokum aid echad be'ish v'gever. You have a different Pasuk that says one aid cannot stand up against a person to make him guilty and based in. So mimash mashenem lo yokum aid. Since the Pasuk already says aid, eni yadeshu echad. Automatically, wouldn't we know the word aid means one aid because aid is singular? So why does the pasuk have to add the word echad? It could just say lo yokum aid beish, and we would understand it means one aid. So therefore, zeh bona av. So here we have a binyan av kol makom shenema aid. Whenever in Torah it says the word aid, harei kan shnayim, then by default the word aid means two. In other words, don't understand the word aid as witness in the singular. Understand it as aidus. Understand it as witnessing, which requires two aidim in general. That's what we're saying. We're saying that now, since it says lo yokum aid echad beish, so the word echad clarifies here the word aid means one, but everywhere else the word aid means two. So in other words, don't understand in general the word aid to mean one witness. Understand it to mean an act of witnessing, which requires two aid. Ad she yifrit l'cha kosev echad, unless the pasuk specifies one. So therefore, so now in the search, it doesn't say the word one. It says the aid ainba. So that means there are no two aidim against her. So therefore, for Amarachman of Trey Lesba, the Pasuk is saying there are no two aidim. Elachad, there's only one aid. But the Pasuk continues, Vihilo Nisbasa Asura. The Pasuk is saying that she was not raped, and therefore she's also to her husband. In other words, because if it had been, if she was a wife of Yisrael and she was raped, she'd be mutter to her husband still. So therefore, so the implication is that, now in other words, we parse the Pasuk like this. The aid ain bach Vihilo Nitma. There's no two aidim against her. There's only one aid. And why is she Asur? Because Vihilo Nisbasa, because she was not raped. So had there been no Edim, or had there been Edim, or had there been that she was raped, she'd be mutter. But now that you have only one aid, and the Hilan Ismasa is enough to answer her. So now, understanding the pasuk that way, we see that one aid of Tumah is enough to answer her to her husband. Well, the question now is, in that case, once we have, so that's how we see that one aid is good enough. Well, the problem with that is, well, if one aid is believed already, then how is another aid later on able to come and contradict him? What is the Mishnah saying? If one aid came and said she's Tomei, and another one came and said she was not, in other words, they're both testifying on the same stira. The husband had told her, don't be alone with this guy. She was alone with this guy. Now Reuven comes and says, during that stira that she was alone with him, they were actually Mizana. And Shimon comes and says, no, I saw that stira, but I saw that they were not Mizana. So how is Shimon believed to go up against Reuven? Doesn't Ula say, whenever the Torah believes one aid, then we consider them as if they were the equivalent of two aidim, the ein dvarav shalach ad makom shnayim, and one can't cancel out two. So if Reuven came and said she was Mizana, the Torah gives him the strength of two aidim. Because we're saying that based on him, that's enough to answer her. If later on Shimon comes and says she wasn't Mizana, that's one aid against two aidim.
No, two against two.
Because when it comes to aid tuma is the Torah believing one aid. The Shimon is an aid of non-tuma, so therefore it's one against two. So Ella Oma Ula Tony Lo Hoisa Shoisa. So Ula says, as a matter of fact, you're going to have to correct the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that in this case Hoisa Shoisa. Ula says, no, you're going to have to say the correct Gersa in the Mishnah is Lo Hoisa Shoisa. She doesn't drink in that case, because you're right. You have two Edim in effect that came and said she's Tomei, because even though it was only one aid, the Torah gives him the strength of two. And therefore, nobody can contradict them after. Therefore, well, at least one aid can't contradict them after that. If you have two Edim come after that, that's different. Reb Yitzchok says the same thing. On the other hand, Reb Chia learns that no, the Mishnah is exactly as it says. In that case, she does drink. Well, the question is, Reb Chia kasha de Ula. Well, wouldn't it be difficult according to Reb Chia what Ula is saying? Now, of course, obviously the Gemara could say Reb Chia can argue with Ula. I mean, they're both Amiroyim. They're allowed to argue with each other. But the Gemara is assuming right now that what Ula is saying is accepted by everybody. So the answer, or you could say the other way around, the Mishnah would be contradicting Ula according to the Pri. The answer is loy kasha kan bevasachas kan bezachazeh. It depends whether the two edim said their edus bevasachas, meaning toich kere dibur. So Reuven came and said she was Tomei, and immediately betoich kere dibur Shimon came and said no, she was not Tomei.
Okay. Then. Separate,
you could have, it's not necessary. I mean, usually you would take them both in separately, but it could happen for whatever reason that they were heard one after the other. So therefore, there wasn't even time for the first Eidos to be certified by Beis Din before the second one spoke up. So then we're not going to say that the first one has the power of two Eidim. Then it's one against one. Whereas the other one is talking about where they came one after the other. Reuven came, and a while later Shimon came, then that would be, we're not going to say that Shimon has any power to overrule Reuven. Tosfos actually says, maybe not necessarily are we talking about Toshka de Dibur, like Rashi says. Tosfos says, rather, we'd be talking about more Bazar Chazer versus Bavasachas would really be more if Beis Din actually did action based on that. So Beis Din heard out the first aid, and they said, you know, fine, we hear what the first aid is saying. Therefore, you, Pliny, are obligated to divorce your wife. And then the other aid came, that would be Bazar Chazer, as opposed to if Beis Din, even if it's not Toshka de Dibur, Tosfos learns, but they didn't have a chance to do anything about it yet. And then Shimon showed up, then we wouldn't necessarily say that. Then we would say that Shimon can contradict Reuven.
Yeah,
And then she's back to that she would drink. So therefore, she would drink because then we're back to we have one aid against one aid.
Wouldn't say that you give a get.
He could give a get if he wants to. Of course, he always has that option, but he doesn't have to. He could instead choose to give her a drink in that case because you have one aid against one aid. But what we're saying is Tosfos learns that if Beis Din already not only heard out the aid but actually took action based on it, and then the other aid comes, that would be Bezachos, and at that point the first aid is upgraded as if it was two. Okay. So no contradiction to Ola. Okay, the Mishnah said, the Gemara says, Tanan, well, let's consider the rest of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, Eid Omen Nitmus or Shnaim Omen Nitmus. If one Eid says she became Tomei and two say that she did not, Hoysa Shoysa, then she would drink, implying, Hochad Bechad Lo Hoysa Shoysa, implying that if you only have one Eid against one Eid, then she wouldn't. Tiyupta did Abchia. Wouldn't that contradict Abchia? Because Abchia is saying that even if you have one against one, you can have a case where she would drink. And the Mishnah seems to be implying that only when you have two aidim against the one aid, then we say the two cancel out the one. The answer is, Amalach Abchia, the answer is Abchia will tell you, Velitai Mech, new according to your Svara, that you're bringing up the question, Ema Sefer, look at the following part of the Mishnah. Shnaim emim nitmes ve'echad emim loy nitmes. If two say she became Tomei and one says she does not, loy hoysa shoysa, then she doesn't drink, implying hochad v'chad hoysa shoysa, there you have an implication for care, that if it was one against one, she would. So after all, you see the Mishnah itself seems to be contradicting each other as far as the implications. Ela kula b'psula edus, rather you have to understand that all of this part of the Mishnah is talking about not where there were kosher to edim in the first place. You're talking about where the edim that came to begin with were posel, women, avodim, people who did certain averus, etc. So then Rav Nechemya. So our Mishnah would be following the opinion of Rav Nechemya. The Tanya, Rav Nechemya, I'm a kol mokam she'emina Torah eid echad, whenever the Torah trusts one aid, holoch achad roiv deis. Then really what the Torah is telling you is you have to go according to the majority of people who are saying edus on this. In other words, when it comes to kosher to edim, the rule is we don't say it doesn't matter how many edim there are on each side. If you have two kosher to edim saying one thing and 100 kosher to edim contradicting them, the 100 are no stronger than two. Trei kameo meo katrei. But when it comes to psula edus, Reb Nechemya is saying you go according to the number of people. So therefore, v'osu shtei noshim be'ishachad kishnei anoshim be'ishachad. So therefore, two women against one man are the equivalent of two men against one man. So in other words, the same way as one aid doesn't count when there are two kosher to aid him against him, the same way if there are two posel to aid him against him, then also since this is one of those cases where the Torah allows one aid, then two posel to aid him can contradict him. So therefore, we're not talking about, when the Mishnah says that there was one aid and then there were two aidim, we mean that all of them are posel. So you can't really derive anything from that part of the Mishnah as far as if it's kosher aidim, one against one. You could still say that one kosher aid counts as the equivalent of two, but we're talking about over here about psula aidus.
So in other words, if you have two psula aidus and you have one kosher aidus, then it would be the kosher aid.
So then we would say that you go according to Roiv Deis, then you go according to the Psulim as opposed to the Kshayim, because you have more Psulim. We have one against one Kosher, but still the two outweigh the one.
Even though the
Psulim. Yeah. So the Ikadamri, now others learn a little different. Kol hecha de osa edach of kosher meikra. If one kosher aid came to begin with, afilu mea noshim nami ka edach of damian, then even if 100 women came to contradict him, that would be the equivalent of one aid, and therefore they can't contradict him because the first kosher aid has the power of two. V'hocha maya skinin, but the scenario over here would be gundasoi isha meikra, where the first one who came was a woman. The touts of Rav Nechemya hochi. In which case, you have to understand Rav Nechemya's statement a little bit differently. Rav Nechemya Omer, Kol Mokam She'emina Torah Eid Echad, whenever the Torah believes one aid, Holach Achad Roiv Deis, and again, you follow the majority of opinions, the majority of people, but also Shtei Noshim Be'isha Achas, Kishnei Anoshim Be'isha Echad. So now, the point is, Rav Nechemya only said that Holach Achad Roiv Deis. The Gemara is explaining what we derive from that. In the first version, we derive from that that we consider two women against one man to be the equivalent of two men against one man. Now we're saying differently. We consider two women against one woman to be the equivalent of two men against one man. But according to the second version, if you have two women against one man, then it would be exactly balanced. The two women exactly balance out the one man. And therefore, so therefore you would have again, like we said before. So when we said in our Mishnah that you go according to one or two, respectively, if you have one contradicted by two, two contradicted by one or whatever, it's talking about where all of them are possible. So they want to ask for Tauti but Psula Edus Lomali. In that case, why do we need two statements in the Mishnah as far as Psula Edus? Why do we need two different scenarios? One where you have two Edim say Nitma and one says Loi Nitma, and the other one where one says Nitma and Shnaimim and Loi Nitma. Why do you need both cases? And the answer is because otherwise, Maud Tema, because otherwise you might have thought, Kias Linen, Bosa Roy Deus, when do we follow the majority of Edim? Is Lachumra, is only when it comes out of Chumra from it that we make her drink the Mei Soita. But when we say that the result of it is going to be a kula that she doesn't need to drink, then we would say loyas linen. Maybe we don't follow roiv deis, and maybe even one aid is enough to cancel out the one aid, and then we leave it. Kamash malon. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to tell us that Rav Nechemia is saying, even in that case, you still go according to roiv deis. So the bottom line is, in other words, like, yeah, if you have one kosher aid came to begin with, then we're saying that he counts as the equivalent of two, and therefore the only thing that could contradict him is two kosher aid. But if it was bevasachas, then we would say that one can go up against one, and if they were psula aiders, then instead you go according to roiv deis, and therefore, so the Rambam gives the example. Let's say even you have 10 women came and said she was tomei, but then 11 women come and say she wasn't tomei, then the 11 cancel out the 10, because even though normally by aiders we say trei kameo meo katrei, that's only with kosher aidim, with posula aidim we say that you go according to the actual number of people.
So you have a simple
road in that case, yeah. Hadron alof mishakini, as I said.